Tonight's scripture reading is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. I'll be reading from the updated New American Standard. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for how you should follow in his steps.
Good to be with you tonight. Appreciate everyone's presence. As it was announced, we're going to continue our lesson from this morning. And full disclosure, this was not supposed to be a two-part lesson. I guess you know that. You could tell by the PowerPoint this morning. But generally, when I preach in the morning at night, I know that that's what is going to happen. And so as I looked at the timing of this morning's lesson, the time got away from me. I went a little bit longer on the first two points than I thought. So the bottom line is we only have one point to make tonight. And so, but as you know, when we think about this theme, living in the likeness of Christ, there are far more than just three points that can be made about being like Jesus. And that really is what it's all about, as we just heard read. For this, you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his steps. If you were not here this morning, we emphasize that word example. It means a writing copy, including all of the letters of the alphabet given to beginners as an aid, given to the beginners as an aid in learning to draw them. So the point of it was, Jesus is like that letter on top of the page that students would copy over and over again to learn the letter. And so we're to be copying Jesus. And the more we copy him, the more like him we become. And that really is what Christianity is all about. It is being as much like Jesus as we can possibly be in every walk of our life. And we are blessed that we have such a great example in Jesus, the Son of God. We know exactly how we should live our lives because we have Jesus to look for or to look towards. And it's like the Hebrews writer said, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And we're not just to look at him, but we have to copy him. And again, the more we do that, the more like him we will become. The problem is there's a lot of folks in the church that want to be Christians. They want to reap all of the benefits of Christianity and share in the riches of the gospel of Christ without actually imitating Jesus. And that won't work. A Christian is one who is following Jesus. And so we need to strive to be like him. Now, this morning we said we saw two points. We need to live in the likeness of his motivation. John chapter 4 at verse 34, Jesus said, unto them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And so the goal of Jesus was to please his Father. That was his food. That was his strength. That was his sustenance, even his satisfaction, to do the will of God. If we're living in the likeness of Christ, we'll do the same thing. We'll put the will of God before the will of everyone else and even before our own will. And as I've often said, that's the challenging part. That's the most challenging part. I will easily put God's will before you, but putting God before me is far more challenging. And it's challenging for all of us. But that's what Jesus did. He put the will of God before his own. We remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying for that cup to pass from him. He didn't want to drink from that cup, but at the end he said, not my will, but thy will be done. That was his food. And it should be the case with all of us as well. And then we saw that we need to live in the likeness of his mind. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we need to have the mindset of Christ. We need to think the way he thought. Our attitude should be the same as his attitude. Now remember, as we said this morning, as we copy that letter on top of the page, at first our letter will be kind of sloppy, but the more we practice it, the more we copy it over and over and over again, the better it will look. It'll start to resemble that letter on top of the page. And so that is the case really with all of these things, even having the mind of Christ. So we looked at several things, three things I believe. Jesus had the mindset of sacrifice. We need to imitate that. We need to live in his likeness. Paul said, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, gave up the glory of heaven. That's called sacrifice. And we need to be willing to sacrifice for Christ. Also, Jesus had the mindset of service. In the second part of that verse 7, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve. And we need to be like him. There's plenty of opportunities in the body of Christ to serve others, to serve one another. We just need to take advantage of it. And he had the mindset of humility, we saw, verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What great humility that demonstrated, that Jesus, the one, as we saw this morning, who created the heavens and the earth, the one who controls the universe, that he was willing to humble himself enough to die on the cross, to experience the shame, the disgrace that was a part of the cross. Well, we need to live in his likeness. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. We should want God to exalt us, but to do that, we have to humble ourselves. And the truth is, there is no reason at all for us not to be humble. There's nothing we have that hasn't been given to us. That's what Paul reminded the Corinthians of. They had a problem with arrogance. They thought that they were better than others, perhaps because of the teacher who taught them, or some of them thought that they were better because they had the ability to speak in tongues and other people didn't. But Paul reminded them, everything you have has been given to you. So why is it that you boast? And the fact of the matter is, the same thing is true with us. Not only of the spiritual blessings that we have, but even the physical things that we have. The truth is, there is nothing you have that someone else did not contribute to you having. There is no reason for us to be boastful, to brag. We should glory in God and glory in the cross and not ourselves. We need to humble ourselves, and no one did that more than Jesus. Let's live in the likeness of Christ. Now, again, one more point, and we won't take long. We need to live in the likeness of his mouth. What do you mean by that? Well, Peter said in 1 Peter 2, once again, this time, verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. A part of being a Christian is knowing how to control our tongues. This is kind of an extension of what we were talking about in our Bible class this morning in James chapter 3. Jesus always controlled himself, even down to the things that he said. So let's just take a quick look at that for a few minutes more tonight. There was no deceit found in his mouth, Peter said. Jesus always spoke the truth. Sometimes that truth was not well received. Sometimes the truth that he spoke was liked and sometimes it was disliked, but he always spoke the truth. Sometimes the people were pleased, sometimes people were offended, but he always spoke the truth. It would make some people comfortable, sometimes it would make people uncomfortable, but he always spoke the truth. He knew what he was doing. He knew when his words were going to be comforting. Sometimes he'd do that on purpose. You remember in John chapter 14 when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms." And he knew that would comfort his disciples. But there were other times when he said things he knew would make people uncomfortable. We looked this morning just in passing how many of his disciples on one occasion went back and walked no more with him. They didn't like what he was saying. They were uncomfortable by the truth that he taught. But he didn't apologize. And he never did. He knew that some people wouldn't like his message, but still, he always spoke the truth. We need to live in the likeness of Jesus. We need to be a people who always speaks the truth, whether people will like it or not, whether it's popular or not, it doesn't matter. We need to speak the truth. We need to be people who are honest and forthcoming. People need to know whenever we open our mouth, the truth and nothing but the truth is going to come out. Because that's the way Jesus was. And when we do that, we elevate ourselves above the world. We separate ourselves from this world. Because one thing that is true, this world is filled with liars. Filled with people who don't care much about truth. Filled with people who think lying is okay. There's nothing wrong with a little white lie once in a while. But as Christians, we're to be different. I remember Paul in Romans chapter 3, he said about the world, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. And that's just the way the world is, isn't it? I was reading a short article on Herschel Walker. He's running for something in Georgia. And his aides were referring to him as a pathological liar. Like, I'm thinking, you need to get out of this race, like, right now. If your aides are publicly describing you as a pathological liar, that's probably going to be a problem. And the reason they were doing that is because what he has done, I haven't followed Herschel Walker at all, but evidently he has made a big deal, and well, he should, of deadbeat dads. And come to find out, he has a child out of wedlock. There's a child that he has, a son that he's real close to, takes him with him and publicly makes public appearances with him and things. And so he pushes that message of deadbeat dads. But now come to find out, he has a child. His aides went to him and asked him, "Do you have a child that people don't know about?" He said, "No," but they had evidence that he did. Well, then it came out that he had two other ones other than that one. And so the aides went back to him and said, "Do you have two more children?" He said, "No, we have evidence of it." And so they said, "He's just a pathological liar." Like, he's their aides. What an aide is meant to help. They weren't trying to hurt him. They wanted to know the truth so that they could spin things right. They were in the thing to help him, but still he couldn't be even honest with his aides. Now again, that may tell you he probably shouldn't be running for any office. But the fact of the matter is, that's typical behavior in the world. I grew up with individuals who were pathological liars. I had a few friends like that. It was almost embarrassing. They would say things. They would be lying. They knew they were lying. In fact, they knew I knew they were lying, but they lied anyway. And that's just the way people are. That's the world. But those who are living in the likeness of Christ don't do that. We don't talk about little white lies. More importantly, we don't live dishonest lives. We always speak the truth and live by the truth because that's what being like Jesus is all about. That's what we see in Jesus. There was never, ever any deceit. No guile was ever found in his mouth. And that's the way it should be with all of us. Paul in Romans chapter 13 at verse 13, he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberlain and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. To put on Christ. That's just another way of living in his likeness. When you put on Christ, when you clothe yourself with Christ, you're going to be like him. There's going to be that relationship, that connection. And so the fact that there was no deceit found in his mouth, that's the way it should be with us. In Revelation 21 at verse 8, John said, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion would be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And when you read that, you might think to yourself, now, liars, you know, that doesn't seem like that fits. Like, should you really put liars in there amidst murderers and the sexual immorals and idolaters and all? Yes, that's where God put it. Because to him, sin is sin. He sees it alike. It's all offensive to him. Even lying will cause you to lose your soul. And you can't say, I'm Christ-like. I'm living in the likeness of Christ if you go around lying all the time. There should be no deceit found in our mouth. And then he did not have an abusive mouth. It says that he, even when he was reviled, he reviled not again. The word revile points to the idea of abuse. And Webster gave a definition of it, said to subject to verbal abuse, to use abusive language. And that is something that Jesus never ever did. He was able to teach the truth without being abusive, without being unkind, without misspeaking. He was straightforward. He said things people sometimes didn't like, as I said just a few minutes ago, but still, he was never abusive in his speech. We need to be like Jesus. We don't ever need to compromise when it comes down to the truth of the gospel. Sometimes we need to be straight shooters, as we sometimes say. I've often said, when it comes down to the gospel, we have to connect the dots. Because a lot of people, when you don't connect those dots, you might think, oh, they're just going to understand this, and they don't. So sometimes you have to be very straightforward. Let people know where they stand with God because they haven't obeyed the gospel. But you have to be kind when you're doing it. You never revile. You never use abusive speech. And really, in the context of 1 Peter, Peter is dealing with those who were persecuting Jesus. Even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of persecution, Jesus did not use abusive speech. Are you living in the likeness of Christ? We looked this morning in our Bible class at Ephesians 4 at verse 29. Paul said, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. There are all kinds of good teaching in that one verse, especially as it relates to our mouths, to our tongues, and how we speak. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Not a little bit. It's all right as long as I don't have corrupt speech all the time. A little bit's okay. Not according to Paul. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. But only such as is good for building up, for edifying. Speak only those things that are going to help. You know what that takes? It takes thinking before you talk. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. We offend people. We hurt people by our words because we talk without thinking. we're going to do what Paul says to do here, if we're going to be like Jesus, one thing you know, again, he was always in control. And he never just spoke and just off the top of his head without thinking about what he was going to say. He always knew what was coming next. He thought before he talked. And that's exactly what we need to do. And when we do that, then we're in position to speak only things that are good and that are building up. Listen, he says, those things that are fit for the occasion. Like, there are some things that you don't have to say in certain situations. Sometimes it may be the right thing. It may be something that needs to be said, but not on that occasion. Some things you can just wait. Some things, sometimes it is best just to hold back. But that again takes reasoning and thought. And that's exactly what Jesus did. That it may give grace to those who hear. Do you ever stop and think to yourself before you say something, I wonder if this really is going to be helpful? What I'm about to say, I really want to say it. It's on my mind. But I wonder if it's going to be beneficial to the one that I'm talking to, or does that even matter? Sometimes we just want to say what we want to say. It makes us feel better. But sometimes it can cause a lot of damage. We need to look unto Jesus. He never did that sort of thing. He never tried to wound people just by words. He was never harsh from that standpoint. Again, he was a straight shooter. He called people what they were sometimes, whether it was a fox or whatever it is. But he was never abusive. And we need to be like Jesus. How might we abuse the tongue? We don't have time now to look at all of these things, but by gossip, cursing, of course, would be corrupt communication, or just being flippant. Sometimes we're experts at that, playing around too much. Lying, we've already talked about that. Rudeness or being sarcastic. We need to stop and think, am I using my mouth the way Jesus did when he was here on earth? And let's not forget what he himself said in Matthew chapter 12 at verse 36. And I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. A careless word. You think about that, that's word or words that come about because you talk without thinking. Careless, you talk carelessly. That'll get you in trouble not only right now, but will get you in trouble in the day of judgment. And so we have to be careful. Finally, Jesus had a mouth that was under control. We have said several times, Jesus was always in control. And so he knew when to speak and what to say. And he also knew when he shouldn't say anything at all. I remember in Isaiah chapter 53 at verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Are we like Jesus? Can we do that even in the midst of suffering? Sometimes, in fact, many times, it is best just to be quiet and to hold back. That takes some control. Jesus had it. Are we ourselves living in the likeness of Christ? Now, remember, these are just three things that we have talked about. The motivation, the mind, the mouth. If we had time, this could really be a series of lessons if we wanted to in every area of our life. We need to be imitating Jesus. I started this morning by asking, are you a Christian? And we need to ask ourselves that from time to time. Remember, not are you a child of God? A child of God is someone who has obeyed the gospel. But are you a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Jesus. And that's what a Christian is all the time. There is no exception to that. Now, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I have my name on a roll book of a local church. That doesn't make you a Christian. You're a Christian if you're following Jesus. And you're only a Christian if you're following Jesus. And so let's live in the likeness of Christ. Let's let the world see Jesus living in us. And that will benefit us now and benefit us later. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do it this morning? Acts 2 and at verse 38, repent and be baptized, Peter said, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. God's plan of salvation never changes. You want to be saved? You have to repent of your sins and you must be baptized. I know the world's saying you don't have to be baptized, but it's baptism that puts you into Christ. Galatians 3 at verse 27. That's where all spiritual blessings are found. Ephesians 1 and at verse 3. The greatest blessing of all is the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins. You can only have that if you're baptized into Christ. The good news is you can do that tonight. There's water right behind me. It's ready to go. We can baptize you and you can be saved, a new creature in Christ, in just a matter of moments. But you have to respond. If you're not a Christian, we hope that you'll respond. If you are a child of God but not a Christian, we hope you'll repent. Ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Do what you have to do to start living in the likeness of Christ this very night. We hope that you'll respond. Come forward as we together stand and sing.